Step right up, everybody. It's time to hear from the men you love to hate or love to love. It's time for This Week in Mormons, where we are going to bring you a rip-roaring show. Where does the phrase rip-roaring come from?
I believe it was from the old diarrhea era of rip-roaring. Boy, that poop was sure rip-roaring, Jeff.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's it's full of energy. I understand. That's what we are. We're full of energy. Very loud, very lively.
There are very few moments in my life where I've been rip-roaring, and they all relate to poop.
That's wonderful. Al, thank you for starting us off on that delightfully scatological note. I appreciate
everything. I'm sorry, did you say scatological?
Yeah.
Dear Google?
Look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you. I do not explain
Define
things.
Define scatological.
I act as my pretentious self, and I let the cards fall where they may.
There is no word scatological.
Yes, there is.
I don't have it.
I just looked it up right now.
In what dictionary?
The real one.
How do you Google?
Oh, I'm going to send you a link right now. There you go. Look it up. You're going to love it. You are so into it.
Thefreedictionary.com? That's your source?
It's fine. I can find Merriam. This is such a waste of time.
No, it's the study of fecal excrement. Scatology.
No are, wonder you, are you happy now? Are you happy, Alan? I'm glad you're thrilled. I hope if people are still listening, they'll be excited for the fact
what
that we're
talking about. What is that science? At what point in your career do you say, you know what, feet is pretty demeaning. I think I'm going to choose scatology.
Well, if you could be, you know what.
Is that it? Is it scatology? Scatology. Scatology. Scatology.
When I think of that, I think of jazz, you know.
And I think of Nelly Furtado, which is why we have to move on.
I'm like a bird.
Squiggity, biggity, 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 boom, boom, boom. You got to turn off the lights. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Oh, my gosh, Jeff. What a treat. How are you, young blood?
Well, last Thursday, I stayed up very late because it was the Scottish referendum. Unfortunately, they failed to liberate themselves from their English captors, but it was still riveting. It was a dramatic evening.
Why didn't they vote for freedom?
In a situation like that, people...
And by freedom, I mean the Mel Gibson heavier variety. Tax burden on themselves, yeah.
Yeah. Really, people get scared. I mean, it's the unknown. It's understandable. You might think that
what if we didn't have the queen to protect us? What if we were like Ukraine, where we only had... You know, our Western allies that promised they would protect us.
Those Western allies are really bringing up their end of the bargain. The pure force of NATO has been felt in Ukraine.
It sure has. Please don't hurt us more. Please stop it.
Please capitulate more, everyone. I'm not that much of a hawkish type with foreign policy, but even on Ukraine, I'm like, guys, come on.
Somebody stand up. Have a backbone.
Yeah. That's another topic, which, by the way, I watched Poroshenko speak to the U.S. Congress and as well as to the Canadian Parliament. The Canadian Parliament was moving. That was lovely. Tears.
Why?
It was just a totally different relationship. There,
wait, the Parliament members were crying or he was crying?
Stephen Harper was crying, but that's because he's just a jolly guy. And so it was like brothers coming together. Everyone's all smiley and happy. And there's like, thank you. We appreciate you guys so much. Then he comes the next day to the U.S. And he's just like, well, sorry. Basically what he said to Canada was like, thank you for the blankets and vests. They're wonderful. They've been helpful. Then he comes to the U.S. and says, thank you for the blankets and vests. Those aren't enough, though. We need lethal aid. So there's a difference in expectation between the...
Well, sure. Canada, obviously... good to have around for breakfast foods. You know, they're nice folk. America, Obama's the mover. He's the one you go to when you want something done.
I'm the decider. No, W was the decider. Decides things. When things need deciding, I'm the decider.
He's very good.
You know
he's
what
very
I mean.
Good at that.
Anyway, that was great. Other than that, life is grand. The referendum. It was fun to watch, though. Either way.
So to summarize, the exciting part of your week was when that great thing came on TV that you could sit and watch. Would that be an accurate assessment of
how your week? A potentially once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
A hopefully once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Other than that, it was just a delightful, pleasant weekend. Thanks to everyone who hung with us as we sorted out last week's technological problems with our show with Nylan McBain. We know it wasn't perfect in the end, and we're sorry the show went up so late, but we did what we could. It was fun to have her on. And so
what a treat she was. My favorite part of that is, so you've listened to us before, right? No, never.
Oh, no one's ever done that. That's normal, though.
Jeff, that's not normal.
Al, people go on the
Tonight
Show. We have
thousands of listeners now, Jeff. People, we have a Twim army, remember?
I will never
You people, that. As you listen, Luke Webb, you are part of the Twim army.
Why are we singling out Luke Webb, of all people?
I don't know. I just felt like I should.
Okay. Anyway, how are you? How's the life?
I'm good. It's been delightful. Yeah. I went to Saturday's Waffle on Saturday.
Did you run into Nylan?
Two times. No, she wasn't there. She lied about her association with those gentlemen. it was good though. I'm back in Missouri right now. We're having our birthday bash for our company, which is always fun. And that's been going well.
Is it past the age of accountability yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So right now you can still do whatever you want. So if you ever get audited or something, you'll be like, look, it's not 8 years old. It doesn't know. It's born without
sin. The company was not baptized.
Yeah.
We have not received our endowment.
Well, that's way later. Yeah. Do you think will the company be around by the time it's 18? I hope so. I hope so.
I doubt it.
Okay, that's good.
The way things are looking, probably not, Jeff. No, it's not going to
happen. Oh, please, now. It's thriving. You've rebuilt a city.
We have the grand opening of the restaurant, though, on this weekend. If you're in the Missouri area, come to the Blue Sage. It's going to be delicious.
Folks,
it's
true.
He had a pumpkin pie, an inside-out pumpkin pie. It was just delightful. What a treat.
Inside-out pumpkin pie. Isn't that just called canned pumpkin with, like, crushed graham crackers on top?
With a flaky pastry.
With a flaky pastry.
And vanilla gelato on top, Jeff? Is
that
what you call it?
That sounds excellent.
Thank you.
Now, to give you people perspective on this wonderful restaurant, it was previously a 50s-themed diner called Pastimes. They pretty much sold chicken strips.
Jeff was the only review there on Foursquare.
I became the mayor on Yelp and Foursquare after one day.
Jeff came to visit my town for like 4 days and became the mayor of everything. It was very frustrating. I hated losing to this guy that just came in and wreaked havoc on my mayorship.
The best part of that trip was how this whole trip throughout the Northwest and the mountains and stuff, Al and I are sort of jockeying for position on Foursquare on check-ins. Who can do it? He'd beat me. Like if I was driving, he'd usually beat me to it and vice versa. And then we're in Rexburg on the tail end of our journey. And he's clearly looking at his phone. And he's just like, Johnson Family Farm?
You can't check into places we drive past.
Like, what is this? And I had been falsifying my research for some time during that stretch.
I can never catch up to this guy.
So I was just anywhere we drive by, we'd be on the middle.
It's like first check-in points for being the first of your friends to be here.
Yeah, we'd be on I-90 in the middle of Wyoming, and I was just checking in at some random drugstore, whatever was close to me. I would just hit the button. It was great. So yeah. Anyway,
good times.
Okay,
good times.
I'm glad you're loving Hamilton. I hope you, as the king of the city, are thriving.
I am. All those things. Yeah.
Well, that's excellent.
That's a good really time. Good. And then this JCPenney Days will be this weekend too, which is also fun. I have a festival that we do here. It's
aren't you? I thought you were going to paint over JCPenney. Wasn't that the plan?
No, that was the rumor in the newspaper.
My
we
understanding
over
was
JCPenney's
Joseph
head
Smith,
with Brigham Young.
Oh, Brigham Young. Well, that's even better. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, we so we're having inflatables and vendors. That is what we've done to create a festival.
I like
it. It's not that hard now. I mean, in retrospect, very easy. In the planning phases, you had a lot more going on. But now, inflatables, Jeff, inflatables and vendors. That's it.
You should push for to commission a mural of Brigham Young in Kingston.
Oh, my gosh. People would flip out.
That would be awesome. For those who don't know, Kingston is the county seat of the famed Caldwell County. Lots of Mormon-hating history around there. And Ulysses S. Grant had a lot of problem with the feces and the urine, if I recall.
Yeah, we went to what was that?
It was Civil War reenactment stuff. Yeah.
Anyway,
the guy playing Grant kept referencing that their clothes were soaked in excrement, but it became comical.
Was very
because
passionate.
Every time he got a chance to reference it, we were reminded about his sad state of affairs. It was
and then they would throw their feces.
These
scatologists would fling their dongs at me.
So, Al, I believe the Ogden Temple got dedicated. And
oh, yeah.
You saw it from afar on a circuit that was closed, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I saw it live.
So how was it? What did you learn?
It was good. I went to the first session where President Monson spoke.
That's the only one that counts. So, yeah.
And I had Elder Bednar, so thank you. And I guess Elder Holland spoke later, and there were some other people kept speaking. It was good. There's a part of me that sort of pines for a Doctrine and Covenants. What is it, 107 or 109? The Kirtland Temple dedication is like 19 pages long. It's just discourse in its own right. I miss that. You know what I do love though is I love that the Hosanna shout.
That's cool. That happens. Yeah.
I love it, and I love the idea of like, you know, they preface it sometimes and be like, this is, you know, we're so excited that we shout Hosanna. That's what this is. They don't say that in the thing, but like, I mean, that's the idea, is that you are so overcome by excitement that you cannot help but shout Hosanna and wave your handkerchief. And I always love, especially in Utah, banana, banana, banana. And it's like, well, you guys don't necessarily catch the vision, but okay. There's just a bunch of sad, depressed people that don't understand why they have to use a handkerchief because they've never seen one before in their lives.
Well, everyone in Ogden is just relieved to have their temple again. They're like, well, you took it away 4 years ago. Glad to have it back. Thank you.
It looks beautiful, though. I'm excited to go see it.
Go up there. Go up there and do a session.
I will. Did I tell you a couple of weeks ago I did ceilings in a temple, and the sealer came in. He was one of my old buddies out of BYU Hawaii.
That's a young
weird
sealer.
When the guy walks in, you're like, well, he was a buddy as in a religious teacher or a religion teacher there as a missionary.
The way that you respect authority is you view them as your peers and your buddies.
A lot of people at BYU Hawaii would get mad at me because I went there not as a 12-year-old but as like a grown-up, and I refused to call them brother so-and-so. I'd call them by their first name because I'm like, you're not a professor. You're just here teaching. So, Greg, come over here. He's like, it's Brother Gibson. You're not my brother. I'm not coming here to church. I'm coming here to school. And you're not a professor, so guess what? You're Greg. You treat me with more respect, please. It's much
trouble. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, it sounds terrible.
It's not Greg. That's your name. I must call you that. I always challenged authority.
I know that. I like the transition into adulthood when you start calling people you once called brother. You just start calling them by their first name. Just like, what's up, Dave? How you doing?
I always go Brother Dave. I like that. At church, I keep the brother in there, but I go to the old 1800s era. Brother Jeffrey.
Though at church, I demand that everyone call me president because, you know, protocol.
Yeah, so, protocol.
I mean, that's just what is just. I call the bishop bishop. I don't call him Jeff.
You will call me president.
Say, you will call me president. I did, and this was very much in jest, as I was going through some announcements on Sunday. Oh, I'm blanking on where this comes from. I was talking about service.
What happened, buddy?
Oh,
buddy, what happened?
I'm blanking on the context here. Anyway, however it came up, the point was, oh, I know what. I was trying to do the old, you know, the old scout symbol to try to make people be quiet.
Yeah.
The three, you know, the three fingers up in the air.
I decided, the old three-finger salute.
I decided to bust out the three-finger salute in the hopes that my quorum would be like, yeah, scouting, and then calm down. It never works. I usually have to tell them to shut up. But instead, I was like, come on, guys, scouting. And one of the missionaries looked at me and was just like, well, are you an Eagle Scout? And I just said, Elder, I'm the Elders Quorum president. What do you think?
And
I said it, and I said it just like that for laughs. Everyone laughed. I felt that he could take it, so I threw that at him because I knew he could take it.
Oh, that's good. That's good, as long as he could take
it. The degree to which I tease missionaries is very much dependent on my respect level for them. The more I respect them, the more I will tease them.
I feel like that's how the Lord feels about us. Well, Al, I like you a lot. No women for you. It's a joke. It's a thing that Al and I have. No marriage.
Al, did you ever think that it's up to your own choices?
No, I'm still pretty sure that God's just, it's a running gag. It's, Jeff, you wouldn't get it.
Like,
you're not as trusted. Well, on my level of trust with the Lord, like, yeah, it's hilarious. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Well, on his own wall, on his list of great gags that he's pulled off in his day, he has a picture of you and then a picture of a platypus. And he often asks himself, which is my greater folly? I'm not quite sure. But I'm grateful.
People come visit and he's like, check this one out. It's the prank that keeps on pranking. He can't have sex and he's in his 30s.
Okay,
it's hilarious.
We're not going there to... I'm not going down that.
What road is that, Jeff? What road?
You know
is
the
this?
Road
what,
I speak of.
What slippery slope? We're not going to your wife's...
If it,
you
if
and
it
your wife in the bedroom.
Me,
this isn't a thing.
If this show... If we're not for me, this entire show would be about your dating woes, relations, and scatology. Apparently,
I have no dating woes. I actually am. I'm very pleased with my life in that regard. But I still think it's funny. Savvy,
you're leaving me in the dark on the ladies.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true.
I thought we were friends.
Speaking of dirty sex and things of that nature, let's talk about Carl's Jr. real quick.
Love the Carl's Jr. I now would love to have a Western bacon cheeseburger. If anyone can get one and airmail it to me, I would appreciate that. We do not have the option for them out here.
Would you eat an airmailed burger?
No. On my mission when I was in the MTC, my family actually went and purchased Del Taco in Provo and then dropped it off at the mailroom at the MTC. The problem was the cutoff, it was a Friday, I think. It was when they were still in town. And they did not give us our notice for our mail that day until the mailroom had closed. So on Monday, I was able to retrieve weekend-old Del Taco that had been sitting in a little box all weekend.
That's a well-intentioned gesture. I like
it. It was very nice of them. I mean, cause I was surviving on Caesar salad and chocolate milk by that point.
There's nothing better. And Pizza Wednesdays. So the Carl's Jr., apparently everybody is supposed to hate them because they use sexy women in their ads.
Yes.
They objectify women and hamburgers. They're not on the same level. Women eating the hamburger, so I feel like they have one superior to the other. Kind gesture by Carl. So we're all supposed to hate Carl's Jr. because of how trashy they are. And then local Carl's Jr. franchise owners advertised on the back of BYU's football game tickets, and people are livid because they don't watch Carl's Jr. commercials because they don't advertise during their commercials or during the shows they watch. But they went to Carl's Jr. and had the delicious food because of BYU. And so BYU tricked them into supporting scantily clad women.
Well, I think the other issue here is people are saying, hey, BYU, why aren't you standing up for the standards that we have as Latter-day Saints? You're going to enforce an honor code, but at the same time, you're promoting a brand that stands against what we as a body believe.
You know, I saw a bunch of people complaining on Facebook that they heard songs like Turn Down for What? At the BYU football game on Sunday or on Saturday, and said, hey, whoa, I'm a student here, and that offends me. That song is about drinking and not caring. And the fact that they would play that at my school's football game is just awful. And I say, As long as you're not hearing swear words, let's be excited about this.
Oh, here we go again, the slippery slope, Al. So, Al, you are asserting that as long as media does not contain profanity, but any suggestive content or tone or anything like that therein doesn't matter as long as actual swear words are not involved.
Turn down for what? There's nothing evil in that, unless you finish the song. And I think the idea is that, hey, people, just don't finish this. Don't listen to the song, and then everything that we play is just all on the up and up.
Uh-huh.
Because if all you knew of that song was, turn down for what? Then not
even,
a problem.
I don't even know this song.
What? You don't know this song?
Al, I'm a
Lil Wayne.
I'm a little hipster kid, as they say. And you know.
Yeah, this is not by the Decemberists, so obviously you wouldn't know.
I haven't listened to the Decemberists for a while, actually. Good reminder. I should go listen to The Hazards of Love. That's a great album. Everyone, listen to The Hazards of Love. Great CD.
So, So the idea, though, that like the BY, I mean, I don't know. I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb to just find stuff like that where you're like, ha ha ha, you did it wrong, and yeah, I'm doing it right. And I was uncomfortable at that football game because there was a Carl's Jr. ad on the back of my ticket, and you played a song that is edited on every radio station, but it could have been unedited on the internet. I think that's dumb. And quit being dumb Mormons, people.
But it's, what does the song mean? I don't entirely agree with you on this one, Al. I don't mean that it's good to be pharisaical about stuff like this. I'm with you on that front. But I believe this highlights at least an issue that's worth visiting, in that as Latter-day Saints, should we be comfortable with the brands and such that sometimes are partnered with our church, sometimes tangentially or through a few different layers, to do things? So whether it's Carl's Jr. and what they represent, that's a personal choice for people. Whether it is the fact that we own City Creek and you've got the likes of H&M and, you know, immodesty abounding, or depictions of alcohol, stuff that really is inconsequential. But when you realize that the church, in one form or another, is profiting off of these things.
How is it profiting? Well, I guess a football game is...
It's a sponsor. It's a sponsorship good of the football game. They're not just doing it to be nice. I mean, they pay for that privilege.
I'm adding this video.
I don't want to watch that song right now.
Jeff, you got to listen to it now.
See, right now what's happening is I'm in the middle of producing a show. And in another moment that's not this one, I might be more into it. You're clearly rocking out, but I can't hear it. You did not share the video with me. I'm not seeing it.
Jeff, we're in there watching
the YouTube
video. Which
is fine with me. I'm going to, another
one. We're watching the YouTube video together, Jeff. That's what this Google Hangout is supposed to do.
Nope, don't see it. So in other pharisaical news, hopefully you saw this one last week. Last week at BYU Idaho, President Kim B. Clark posted a little something on his Facebook page, which has provoked the ire of many a people. And so I'm going to read this to you. He says, good afternoon. I had the opportunity yesterday to get out of my office to visit the Constitution Day display in the McKay Quad. It was inspiring to see the flags and read the words of the prophets about the U.S. Constitution. I am grateful for all the people who made the display possible. So that's a nice little intro. Well, pivot. While out and about yesterday, I noticed that a few of you, and it was a few, may need a refresher or perhaps an introduction to three items in the dress and grooming standard.
This is called slut shaming, Jeff. Let's hear it.
Three things that caught my eye yesterday were pants that did not make it down to the ankle, some hemmed off 4 to 8 inches above the ankle. Yeah, when they're 8 inches above the ankle, those are called capris. Some pants rolled up that far. Faces of young men, not
he's
clean.
He's describing Amish pornography.
Yes, not clean shaven, and shorts on campus. Mostly BYU Idaho shorts, but just remember to wear warm-ups. Now, you may wonder why the president of BYU Idaho would spend time on these things. Here is the reason. The dress and grooming standards are one of those small things on which big things depend. Obedience in the small things creates a spirit of obedience in all things. And obedience brings the blessings of heaven to you individually and to the whole campus community. I hope you will help each other to be obedient in even these small but important things. I send my love and hope you will share this message with your roommate.
Translation, start narking on your friends, people. The honor code office doesn't have enough to do.
Now, boy, did this get shared. And that's actually a funny thing to say about BYU Idaho, because it was BYU Idaho that did the whole keeping your roommates from watching pornography narking campaign as well. But this got shared. I don't imagine he regularly gets 75 shares and 300 comments on a Facebook post. It's just a hunch that that's not usually his level of activity, because his most recent post from yesterday has a lot of likes and one share. So there we go.
Yeah.
But not a lot of
this kind of stuff. I mean, for a school president to pick that as the message, what else could you put out there? What else could you encourage and enlighten and lift your students with? And instead you pick to focus on 4 inches of ankle skin. Is that really a thing?
It's September.
I mean, give us till November and we'll be back in pants. No problem. Just like, let us have our ankle nudity. Would you? There's the title for the
show. I honestly do not even understand. I've never understood the dress and grooming standards of BYU Idaho. BYU in general is fine. But no flip-flops, no shorts, all that kind of, I've never understood it. I understand because one can wear shorts and still look respectable. Be clean shaven and well.
You're in college. You don't need to look respectable. What's that all about?
Well, that's, I don't have a problem with any university having an honor code. Plenty of universities.
I don't have a problem either. I do have a problem with like a how good you should look code.
Well, that's what the honor code is. That's part of it. Saying is BYU is not the only institution with dress and grooming standards. And you went to BYU Hawaii, where that's like in name only with the whole
Jeff thing. I wore shoes most days.
Yeah.
But like literally, I mean, why? I mean, this is one of the problems when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about the idea that if you're going to be righteous, you better not be wearing those capris. You know, it's this whole idea of there's something inherently wrong with wearing pants that you wore 10 years ago and don't quite fit the way they used to anymore. I just don't see the importance in that. Like, let's focus on some of the bigger issues or focus on maybe not going to a school with subpar academic standards. Like, why doesn't he focus on that? Why doesn't he focus on maybe raising the curve in the economics class? Instead, he puts all of his effort and attention for this little session he did into you're wearing BYU Idaho shorts.
Yes.
But not warm-ups.
Well, look at it this way, though. What about the notion that obedience to small things creates a spirit of obedience in all things? Now, I do believe that. I believe we big picture stuff is important, and we can focus on that. But
the Elton Perry method of take care of the edges and the corners, and the middle will take care of itself, or Doctrine and Covenants, it is a very small thing, a very small rudder that turns a big ship. Yes, Jeff?
Yes, all these things. I agree that is important. I do think that sometimes there is a distinction between a school policy and doctrine. And maybe that's just a personal thing. Maybe that's something that all of us have to figure out individually.
No, that's a real thing.
Where it makes sense. But whether I'm saying that if I keep honor code standards, I am privy to the Lord's blessings. Because that's an interesting notion. Because then we're saying these aren't commandments. This is something a step beyond that. And is God actually going to judge us on keeping the honor code? I think he would judge us. I think he would judge us on keeping something that we have committed to do, whatever that may be, right?
I don't think so.
Well, that's a test of our honesty in general. I mean, if I say I will keep this honor code, and if I don't keep it, I'm willfully going against something I committed to do. We could pick.
Then what happens?
Well, we could pick apart how dumb parts of it are, and that's fine.
Sure.
But it's like anything else, you know. If I commit to do things and I fail to do them,
what happens when you don't do your home teaching 1 month?
People suffer.
What happens when you commit to do things and don't do them, Jeff?
You suffer.
Nothing happens.
No, you suffer.
What are you suffering? You're not suffering.
Others suffer.
You should. You should do those things. I mean, sure, we should, but like, you don't get punished. No one. I guarantee you, God will never bring up the fact that they broke honor code by wearing capris. That's not going to come up in the
You
interview.
Guarantee it. You, Al Doan, have cracked the code of the way in which we will be judged.
I do hereby agree to take on all ankle skin showing sins of everyone.
So now you're trying to be the savior.
I will happily atone for the 4 inches of ankle skin of everyone.
Okay, I think what happened. See, this is my, Jeff. This is my apostate meter, and you broke it.
No, it's not broken. There's nothing. There's not a sin there. So look.
You just likened yourself to Jesus in an atoning capacity.
No, I didn't. I took no sins on myself. Right? There's no sin here. That's what I'm saying. So and it's important to
you
remember.
You said I will atone. Those were your words.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Do you want me to pull out freedictionary.com on you, Jeff?
I would love for you to pull up freedictionary.com.
So I mean this idea that like some arbitrary school rule. So going to the school, sure, you agree to that. Like that's what you should do. You know, keep the honor code. Go for it, knock it out. The idea that something bad will happen if you don't dress and groom, if you grow a beard while at BYU, that you are somehow doing or committing a sin or some act of genuine transgression is false. It's not a real thing. No one cares.
No one cares except
for this school.
It's not a sin, and I'll give you that there. But I think there is a concept that, you know, living up to what we commit to do. If you don't want to keep the honor code, you don't have to go to BYU.
No.
And I say this as someone who willfully doesn't care about a lot of aspects of the honor code. I agree that if this were a matter of sin, then peg me as the sinner. That's fine. Because I mean, like the curfews and stuff. I mean, I've written whole articles about stuff like that before. I think it's ridiculous. Hey, but at the same time, nobody was forcing me to be there.
So here's my only problem with it, though, is it's like if the solution is to not go to that school, right, and you have to keep a special way of dressing yourself to go to that school.
Yes.
Like, let's quit making it a church school. Make it don't make it a Mormon school. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore.
But why about just go to a state school then? Why would you take away a church school from BYU? You could just say, just don't go here. Go to a state school then.
No, because our tithing funds go to create this educational opportunity. That's a subpar educational opportunity. And you come out of there feeling like somehow you're a bad person if you have a beard or if you have ankles showing. Heaven forbid you wear sandals or no, not the BYU Idaho shorts. Because you know those are saying wow across the rear and they go down just below the... Nope, well, wait, they go to the knee. You big chumps.
Okay.
I hate this silliness.
Sound off, folks. Hey, send us an email. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com or go to our Facebook page when we post this episode. Tell us what you think about this.
And for the university president, I mean, what more stupid thing could you focus on?
And you could, and there's a fair discussion to be had there. Could the resources not go somewhere that's perhaps?
Hey, so also the just recently there was a somehow Google picked up a raptureready.com definition of what Mormonism is. So when you Google what is Mormonism, there was a great blurb about how we believe in the devil only, and he's the real Jesus, and him and It was woefully inaccurate, and so we had a big campaign to go and let Google know that it was wrong. It was kind of fun.
And it worked. It's gone. It even made it to the Deseret News. They picked up on what was going down.
It's a good find. It's a good find.
Not the National Edition, though. Just the Utah one.
No.
Not the one that you get in your ensign that you weren't asking for. Just
right.
That
so offends you, Jeff.
Oh, it drives me crazy. Don't cross those. Don't cross the streams, man. We're not fighting Gozer. Gosh. All right, folks. 5 to 9 things you didn't know.
That was a great
Ghostbusters?
Ghostbuster reference.
Oh, thank you. So 5 to 9 things that you maybe didn't know about Mormon missionaries. Now, here's the thing. If you've never listened to our show before, I posted this on our Facebook wall. And all I wrote as a caption was, groundbreaking. I believe there are people who follow us on Facebook who don't realize that we say things with sarcastic dry humor a lot of the time. And so when I'm saying groundbreaking, I'm really saying like, woohoo, look at how great we're doing here. So I'll just rattle these off.
Then what did they respond with?
Just people are all like, yeah, woo, we're teaching people, which is fine. Maybe people learn something important and ones who aren't Mormon. So they're not all the same person. Okay, that's fair.
Hello.
The male missionary outfit wasn't always a religious habit.
I wish I served in the day when you could wear a fedora. That's all I want.
That would have been, we could wear hats in my mission, actually. We were allowed to. As long as both companions wore a hat, we could wear hats. It was awesome. So my companion and I went to the store and we bought Spanish old man hats, kind of little cappy ones, you know, that snap on the bill.
What?
We each got one. And that evening, we were so delighted on preparation day to go hit the streets because we both put our hats on and went marching around through the streets of Zaragoza and had a ball. And it was
delightful. That sounds awesome.
Zaragoza is a wonderful place. I love Zaragoza. Oh, it's amazing. So also, they aren't required to go, but they get a lot of nudges along the way. Yeah.
Cute.
Cultural
cute.
Pressure. They don't choose where to go. Yep. They don't choose their companions. Uh-huh. They don't just true. Knock doors, which is true. You also do contacts in the streets.
Hello.
Their training wheels last from a few weeks to a few months. They haven't gotten any popularity dividend from the musical.
Is that true?
Does that mean, well, yeah, nobody's like loving whatever. And they also pay their own way. So these are the things you have learned.
Huh. Wow.
All about them. But I suppose that's useful for people who don't actually know. Because a lot of people
I don't feel like that. I feel like most people would know that.
A lot of people do think that Mormon missionaries get paid for their service, though. That's what I've come across.
Is that real?
Yeah.
I know some people thought that I get, like, if you serve, you get a scholarship to BYU.
Or something like that. Yeah, so some people have some misconceptions about everything.
Which would make sense because there's an epidemic of those knee and ankle showers, and they want to just get suit wearers in there with fedoras. I so loathe BYU-Idaho for so many reasons. let's see. Hold on. Jeff is trying to talk to me.
Talk to the people, Al. Talk to the people.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I got to rattle this one off real quick. Guys, two women, two polygamists, we don't know how they were polygamists, dressed as ninjas, invaded someone's home with knives and attacked people in West Jordan, Utah. Polygamist women dressed as ninjas.
Now, how do they know that they were polygamists? Was it just two girls and a guy, and they just assumed they were polygamists?
Well, when you're a polygamist in Utah, you actually have to get a little letter P that you stitch to your clothing.
Was it like...
It's red?
Eat
your heart out, Nathaniel
Hawthorne.
I'm
trying to think, if you're dressed as a ninja, like what part of you is you're breaking in to stab somebody? They're like, you dang polygamists! You've got me again! Like, what? Why aren't they just ninjas? How is that not enough?
But well, they're polygamists. It's the great. We need to make a. This could be a show on Bravo. Let's pitch it. Al,
the two polygamists. I'm just still confused over you're attacking me. And what do I see? Is it like, is it the eyebrow that connects between the two, like the eye slit, and it's just the unibrow goes straight across? Is it the long flowy hair that's like.
Well,
braided into a whip with spikes in it. I mean, what part of you is like, ha ha?
If I may, ideally, if it's a ninja, you don't even know they're there. That's the true ninja. They shouldn't even know ninjas attack them because that's not the ninja way. The ninja is to do your job and be unseen and get out.
These ninjas attacked with stun guns and knives. And so the stun, I mean, there's some noise that's going to happen.
There were no throwing stars is what you're saying.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I wish they had throwing stars. I love this story.
There is also an article about a Mormon in New York. Now, we don't mind these because we were Mormons in New York a number of times.
No, this is an interesting... Please, yeah, tell people about this. This is a good read. It's long form. Give it a read, though, on our website. We'll link to it.
Yeah. And so the idea is he's just... I mean, he's talking about being a missionary, BYU grad, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to work at Radiolab in New York City. And sort of his first foray into what a Utah person would call, quote unquote, the mission field. He talks about, like, I'm going to get coffee for the first time. And, you know, they get sent down with the order and he tries, you know, buying a cappuccino and not knowing what that is. And then being overly zealous and excited to share the gospel and not really translating what you think it's real life is into real life after you leave Utah is sometimes a little bit disconcerting for people. And so, I mean, it's a decent, it's a well written, little, I guess, self-diagnosis on his experience in New York. So kind of cool.
I think it's really fascinating. I mean, he was going to intern at Radiolab, which is a great podcast. And, the experiences he had, you know, I think it was even beyond, like you said, he had to dabble in stuff like coffee and blah, blah, blah. But I like that he was kind of confused about his overall purpose. Like, he was thinking, what do I do here? What do? I need to be like, I want to be open about my beliefs with the people I'm working with, but I don't want to be weird about it. How do I create a Mormon identity amongst my my own colleagues at Radiolab? And that's what gets really interesting, because he felt a need for them to know he was Mormon, for him to convey it in a way that would not be off-putting.
Become a peculiar people?
Or play to a stereotype or anything like that.
I like the idea that maybe everybody didn't realize this kid from Utah was actually Mormon.
Yeah, what does that say if they don't read it?
And he needed to tell them.
Of course, his gateway was the Book of Mormon musical. That's how he bonded with his folks. And
he's like, oh, this is wonderful. I love the Book of Mormon and the musical.
But I like near the end, he said he prayed. He's like, all right, Heavenly Father, I'm not sure what to do with these people. Am I supposed to convert them? I don't, you know, I'm assuming that most of them don't believe in God. He's like, and frankly, neither do I, at least not in the way that I used to. And yet here I am talking with you. So you can see why I'm confused and why I'm probably not the right person to be preaching anyway. And he says that what he felt was inspiration that came to him that said, you are here to learn from these people. They are really smart. And if you listen, you will not just learn about your profession, but you will learn from them about me. And I like that he flips it around and says, you know, he found the good in these people who don't share his faith or his religion, but he found things that spoke of the truthfulness of the gospel in others. So it starts off with kind of like a fish out of water tale, and you see how this kid grew and actually became stronger in his faith and in his understanding of the,
you know, I respect that,
the Mormonity, as we used to say.
I do. I do say that.
Mm-hmm. The week after conference, folks, keep an eye on your Facebook, because it's going to be I'm a Mormon Picture Week. What does that mean, ask? It means the week after conference. This is not officially done by the church. This is a great example of flooding. Doing great with the flooding here. They want everyone to change their profile pictures on Facebook to I'm a Mormon in whichever color you prefer. Out of the selections. And so you're supposed to do that. So
wait, is this a sponsored like Mormon thing?
No, that's what I'm saying. This is not officially done by the church. This is not an initiative coming out of Salt Lake. This is the groundswell of the people speaking their minds and their hearts and doing that. I will not be participating, not out of anger, but I just won't.
Why not?
Because while I believe very much in representing myself proudly as a Latter-day Saint online, I'm not here to thump people over the head with it.
You think by changing your picture to something besides an old Bruce Lee photo might thump them?
I have never had a Bruce Lee photo. My current photo is me when I'm like not 10.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay. That's that one. The previous one, I had Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. Then I had Hanson. Oh, I had the janitor from Scrubs. I have had a while without a real photo. Oh, Air Supply. That's a good one.
Putin. Okay, so there's a lesson.
Al, what do you think about this? Are you going to do it?
No.
So you get on me. And you're like, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Well, my rationale here is that everybody in my news, I mean, like, we're pretty darn proactive about talking about our faith. I'm like, you know, we share This Week in Mormons, of which I'm a host. Yes. I mean, there's not a lot of ambiguity in what my faith is. I don't feel like I'm doing anybody any favors by saying I'm a Mormon.
I think you've actually come a long way in that regard, if I can, on a personal note.
How so?
When we first started the show, you had a lot more fear about having your two worlds, especially your startup world, sort of cross paths with the Mormon world, and you kind of wanted to keep them separate for professional reasons. And there's probably still an element to that, and I think there is for any of us. But I have seen you, Al, become more outwardly facing in your Mormonism.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Like when people, because I do my business with my old mission buddy Dave and my sister, and people would ask, they'd be like, "Oh, how did you guys meet? How'd you and Dave meet?" And we used to be like, "Oh, well, we were volunteers together. We lived in Ukraine. We met, blah blah blah." And then I've kind of matured to the point of like, "Oh yeah, we served a Mormon mission together. It was great. That's where we met. We were companions for like 6 months. You know, you get placed with somebody you don't like. He was a Canadian, obviously. I hated him." And blah, blah, blah. And so, like, it's just become a very casual, natural thing where I'm able to sort of discuss it in a way that I don't think it's very intrusive. Because that was my concern, is I didn't want other people to feel like I was pushing it on them, and so I've had to come up with ways of, similar to like this guy's story of just like, how can I talk about this guy's story without the faith crisis of like who I am and what I'm about without making them feel uncomfortable. And so I feel like I've come up with some ways to do that.
That's
good. Well.
And that's what we should all be doing.
One of those ways is not making my profile picture a picture of Jesus, a cross, or an I'm a Mormon word.
What about an Angel Moroni?
I don't like when people change their profile pictures to like weird Jesus stuff.
What about James Strang? That's what we should all do.
I don't even know James Franco. There was another, Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hello.
Peggy.
I like that we'll come up with a different thing to do with her all the time. She talks about, there's an article sent out this weekend. So good reporting, Peggy. Now I'm going to go talk about the memo that was sent to bishops and stake presidents and stuff that says, hey, guys, did you know that we're doing a gospel topic section on the website? You should be reading these and encourage people to read them. Just sort of the transparent look at church history and some of the doctrines and stuff, which I think is really great. It would be weird to me to think that there are bishops out there that are not aware of these things and encouraging their use and consumption.
Well, yeah. Well, they haven't really publicized them, so that's why it's interesting they're finally pushing them. I think most...
Jeff, we talk about them as soon as they come out.
Given what we do. But the church hasn't put out press... They've done some, but they haven't been putting out press releases that are like, hey, everybody, come check this out. They've just sort of updated stuff quietly and just changed what it says inside the annals of church explanatory web pages and such. And so it's a big step for them to actually say, bishops, here's what it is. Refer to this. Teach people. Know it. Use it.
No.
Make it happen. We talked about this last week, but it got cut out with all of our problems. So they're doing a dramatic film called Singing with Angels that will be a fictionalized dramatic account of one woman's struggle to join the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Everyone, auditions are happening now. And... In the end, I hope they take the artistic high road and she does not get in. Let this be like Rocky, okay? She learns from failure and is a better person because of it in the end. I don't know if as a schmaltzy Latter-day Saint consuming populace, we would be good for that. So my guess is she will
audition to be like a Ursula and Little Mermaid sort of scenario. She's like, no! Keep singing. It's just like,
Well, I was picturing...
Not good enough.
I was picturing more Phantom of the Opera when he's like, sing for me.
I hate that musical, by the way.
And then it keeps key changing higher and higher.
That's a terrible musical.
How can you hate Phantom with its awesome synthesizer-driven soundtrack?
Such mediocre music. Let's see. The Church History Museum is closing for renovations during conference.
Forever.
First time in 30 years.
Forever.
It's earned it.
Oh, okay. We're giving it a break. Yeah. Why are they closing it, though, Al?
Not a good run. It was ugly on the inside. Need some fixing up.
So that's it?
I'm assuming. Is there other things?
I don't know. So it's going to be closed for a year, man. Fall of 2015. That's
it's been open 30 years. It needs some work done.
I've never been in there. It's sad.
Jeff, I've been in there many times.
I never
have.
And
by many, I mean four.
Whenever I go to Salt Lake, my Temple Square experience, you know, like the tabernacle is as far west as I go, typically. And then everything east of there.
I don't cross the river.
I never cross West Temple and... I drive by it and realize there's a big church history thing there.
Just out of principle, you don't cross West Temple, right?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, why would I? Terrible.
Yeah.
Our friends over at Norman's have produced a YSA's Across the USA, Your Guide to the Single Scene.
You love this article.
I actually don't love the article. It's Your Guide to the Single Scene Outside of Utah. It breaks down key areas where there are single scenes, namely Seattle, Denver, Vegas, a couple places in California, Phoenix, Atlanta, D.C., New York, and Boston. Very exciting things happening for everybody, and they do little breakdowns and have long-form blurbs. Shout out to my wife for the DC one, because she invented the slow dance parties, and now they are immortalized forever. So we just want
What does it say about the slow dance parties?
That if you go to one, you will marry that person.
Really?
Yeah.
You will marry them?
If you go to Crystal City, a neighborhood in Arlington, you can have a slow dance party in your house, a 90s party four doors down, and some sort of family history is fun activity going on the church four blocks away, all at the same time.
Ha-ha! Yes.
Lots of fun things happen. So it's fine. Like a lot of things, it dabbles in some odd generalities, especially like living and having been in the single scene in D.C. when it says its average age is, 24 to 34, and no. No. Especially since they rate Orange County as higher than D.C. I mean, really? As far as age goes, people in Orange County are like 12.
Yeah, I remember.
And I still see guys my age going after the 19-year-olds. Let it go, man. Just let it go. Date a chick your age.
Hold it back. I didn't want. Let's see.
So go view this if you want, people. Have fun.
Just be happy. That's all we're doing. Let's see, the LDS Democrats in Salt Lake City, the Utah Democratic Party, actually, is kicking off a campaign that says it's okay to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and a Democrat.
Oh, good, I like this. I didn't know.
And, so that's good. There's all kinds of good general, like, Democrat jabs that I want to make, but I'll refrain.
Let my people go. As you know, since I am the non-self-proclaimed liberal member host of this show.
You're the non-liberal.
I'm the non-liberal.
Yeah, okay.
I'm the liberal host, everyone. That's what I am.
So, unlike me, who's the liberal host, you are the non-liberal.
Oh, I am the conservative one, obviously.
Right.
The fact that we're doing this right now is interfering with my viewing of The Blaze, and it's frustrating to me.
You watching Glenn Beck, The Blaze?
I don't just watch Glenn Beck. I subscribe. I cash. I do everything. I do it all.
All right. Well, Jeff, we will let you go then.
We can leave it there. Other stuff's
not. Yeah, I feel like we've touched on most of the news. And people, if you would like me to go more into Jeff's intimate life, I will do that for you. Send us a note, and I will make it a point. Dig deep. I'll be that reporter.
Yeah.
That you all want to know. I know most of you have written in to say that you do not want me to do that, but I'm just going to put it out there one more time and say, if you would like me to make you uncomfortable with my conversation with Jeff, I am happy to do that anytime you'd like.
That's terrific. Also, if you want to send those emails, send them to contact@thisweekinmormons.com and visit us at thisweekinmormons.com where we
You can also leave stuff. A comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, or on our Twitter @TheRealTwim, as well as on Instagram.
Which we rock Insta. So hard. Look out for our other podcasts as well. And because I've been accused of dragging out the ending too long, I'm just going to say, Al, it's been great. Thanks for being here.
And that's all for us this week.
It's true. Goodbye.
So on behalf of Jeff and myself, I just want to thank you for joining us, both of us, Jeff and I. Thank you. Goodbye. That's it.